Hi, this is Jerome Stein, and I am talking to you today from Dallas, Texas. I am a mediator. I've become a full-time mediator. I did it previously part-time, but now I'm doing it all the time. I practiced law for 34 years, and I'm no longer practicing law. So I want to talk to you about the joys of mediation and what we can do and how it can work. And why it's good for you and the client. My primary practice experience was in family law, although I was involved in civil law for a long time too. And what I like to say about mediation comes from a song. So if you're really scared of guys singing, you might want to just cover your ears for a second, but I'm going to sing at you. And this is what's great about mediation. It's summed up in this verse. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. So that's what's good about that. I mean, not about the singing, but about mediation. And these are the words that are important. If you really work at it, you'll find that you get what you need. Because life is about compromise. A lot of people don't like compromise. It's become a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. It's what makes the world go round. If you think about it, hardly any deal would take place if you just got exactly what you dreamed of every time. You just can't do that. And so compromise is good for everybody. Hi, this is Jerome Stein. Welcome to The Art of Mediation. This is a podcast about how to improve mediation, how to get better results, what a mediator is looking for, and how you can encourage your client in mediation. I want to tell you and remind you that nothing in this podcast should be considered legal advice, and it is not intended as legal advice. So please hear that and understand this caveat. Today's episode is called Moon and the Stars, and I take it from the title of a movie called Now Voyager. It's a 1942 movie starring Bette Davis, Pauline Reed, and Claude Rains. So, very romantic, very improbable movie. Bette Davis is in the height of her stardom, and she plays Charlotte, a put-upon woman, of course, wealthy, the fourth child, the only daughter of a Boston family, really only survived by her mother, who dislikes her. She's born years after her three brothers. She is terrible to her. The mother's terrible to Charlotte. And Charlotte, as a result, is just a dejected woman with no confidence. And of course, that is shown by her dowdiness, her weight, her unibrow. This is how we show this in a motion picture, and also by her behavior. Charlotte's sister-in-law, one of her sister-in-laws, suggests that Charlotte go to the sanitarium. Don't you love that name, sanitarium? That is run by the sister-in-law's psychiatrist, played by Claude Rains. Well, Charlotte goes to the sanitarium. She gets much, much better. She gains a lot of confidence. And the sister-in-law suggests that Charlotte go on a cruise to South America, which she indeed does. And on that cruise, she meets Jerry, played by Claude Rains, debonair European traveler, who is in a terrible marriage and is devoted to his daughter Tina, who apparently he's also left with the wife who is terrible to Tina and just like Charlotte's mother. Anyways, they go to Rio as part of this cruise, and they get in a car wreck, and Charlotte misses her the cruise line. They both do. And they spend 5 romantic days with each other until Charlotte flies to Rio and meets, not to Rio, to Buenos Aires, and gets the ship. Jerry and Charlotte determine that they should remain only platonic friends, because of course it doesn't make sense. And so she does that. When she comes back to Boston, nobody can believe that Charlotte is now so stylish, so beautiful, and so self-confident. She's extremely self-confident, and she gets engaged to a gentleman who she's not in love with, because, of course, she only remembers her time with Jerry. This is a very long story to get to a short but important point. Anyway, so they... breaks the engagement. Her mother thinks it's a bad idea. Charlotte yells at her mother. Her mother is just taken aback, and she has a heart attack and dies. Charlotte feels terrible, awful, goes back to the sanitarium. Who should she meet there but Paul and Reed's daughter, Tina? And so Charlotte takes Tina in at this agreement of Claude Rains, and she goes back home, stays with her in Boston. Jerry comes to see her. She can't believe that Jerry's there. It's so wonderful. She knows that Tina's Jerry's child. And Jerry would really like to get back together with Charlotte. And Charlotte says, no, I'm here to take care of Tina, and I will do that. And in these movies, people don't have sex. In this movie, sex is imitated by beautiful cigarette smoking. Such a thing could be true. And they blow beautiful smoke circles. And Jerry says to Charlotte, but Charlotte, will you be happy? And she says, Jerry, don't let's ask for the moon. We've got the stars. And we trail off into the moonlit night. And that's the end of the movie. So, what's interesting to me about this, in terms of mediation, you're asking, what the heck does this have to do with mediation? But what's interesting to me about this is that she settles for the stars instead of the moon. She knows that the moon is not a likely choice, that she doesn't expect to have a happy life. And happy is not what's important to her. Can you imagine? That doesn't seem like a lot to ask for. But she doesn't need to be happy. She just wants to be able to raise Tina, and that part of Tina will be her attachment to Jerry. So, this is a point that I'm talking about with regard to mediation. You'll get it now. I hope that very often clients come to mediation hoping for the moon, thinking, why is it so terrible to ask for the moon? All they can say is no. Or sometimes not even knowing that the moon is not possible. They want everything they want on their list. They want, for instance, in a divorce case, they want child support, the house, spousal support, 3/4 of an IRA. In a business, they want the entire interest in the business. They want damages. They want everything. Okay? So, and nobody has disabused this client, this party, of that notion. That's not possible. That's not going to happen. If you go to court, that is extremely unlikely to happen. The judge is not going to do that. So that you have to come to mediation with a reasonable choice, a reasonable thought, a reasonable hope, if you want to get it done. Because you're going to spend a lot more money hoping for something you're not going to get. So what I want is that hard work of talking to your client about what's possible to take place prior to mediation. First of all, it will save time. Second of all, it will manage expectations. Third of all, it will keep you in some control of your client, and client control is a really important thing. If we have 8 hours to settle a case and we spend six of it saying, no, 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 I want everything, we're not going to get it done. Now, some mediators say, I want your 3 o'clock offer at 9 o'clock. That's not necessarily possible. That cuts short the process, I think. But we should start working toward a reasonable offer. And if you've done that work beforehand with your client, if you have met with your client, you need to have actual sit-down meetings with your client to discuss this. A five-minute chat on the phone is not going to do it. You need to sit down face-to-face and discuss what's reasonable, what can be expected. Because, number one, if your client comes to mediation with this thought that they can get all this stuff, and you haven't disabused them of that notion, or if, in fact, maybe you think they could get all this stuff, but you want to talk about the reasonableness of a settlement, the benefit of a settlement, the power of mediation with your client, then you need to do that beforehand. Because what you're going to get is a client who's very disappointed. Why didn't you tell me this before? You didn't tell me this before. I never knew this. I wouldn't have asked for this. I wouldn't have come here. I wouldn't have done this lawsuit if I knew this. Reasonable expectations are really important. Managing your client's goals are really, really important. So what I'm telling you is take that time to sit down with your client and discuss what's reasonable beforehand. What can be expected? What can be expected both at court and mediation? Because you've got another side there who's going to listen to this stuff and say, no, that's not reasonable. And you're going to start clashing both with the other side and with your own client. If you're a party and you don't know what to expect, you're in for a big surprise at mediation. Take that time. Sit down with your client so that they know that they're not likely to get the moon, or it's best not to strive for the moon when you can get the stars. And the stars can be pretty good. Okay, I want to tell you about my mediation fee. I'm charging $720 a party for a half day for a full day. $720 per party for a full day. That's 8 hours, and $100 per party after that 8 hours per side. So it's 5:30, we've gone from 9:30 to 5:30, and we have more to go. I'll charge you $100 per side, per hour, and for a portion of the hour. So, you know, 15 minutes would be $25. Half day is $380 per party with the same rule, $100 per hour per party for overtime, prorated. I'd really like the opportunity to mediate with you. Give me a call at 214-293-6109 or email me at jerome_stein@hotmail.com. If you'd like to discuss this podcast with me, let me know. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, let me know. That'd be great. I'd love that. Okay, thanks for listening to The Art of Mediation. Again, this is Jerome Stein. I'll talk to you soon.